Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Diva Behavior, the podcast. This is your host, Molly Molshine, and oh my gosh, I have an in-depth episode for you this week. We're going to be hearing once again from Sarah Armour, astrologer to the stars, and we are talking all about the scandal. Well, it shouldn't be a scandal, but the Kardashians turned it into a scandal of Khloe Kardashian's leaked bikini pic. So this was something that popped up on the internet kind of over the weekend, and it became this huge thing where the Kardashians' lawyers were going after anyone who posted this photo. Why? Because it shows Khloe's real body in, like, questionable lighting. So obviously we can't have that. Sarah and I talked all about, you know, the body image issues that this brings up, plastic surgery normalization, Khloe's apology her statement we did a huge deep dive on. We really talked about everything. So the first hour or so is just us talking about the pop culture nitty gritty. And then for the last 45 minutes or so, we get into the astrological part of it. And you're going to want to listen because it contains some clues for which signs are most likely to cheat. And I think we could all use that info. We recorded on Clubhouse. If you need a Clubhouse invitation, DM me, because as you'll hear when we say some people's names and stuff, you're able to participate in the conversation if you're on Clubhouse and listening along with us. So if you want to join us for our next talk, which should be on Monday, unless something else crazy happens before then, let me know and I will send you an invite. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Molly Molshine. Follow Sarah on Instagram at Sarah Armour, or go to her website, saraharmour.com, if you want to get an astro reading from her. She does the best readings. And check out her community, The Moonual. You can follow The Moonual on Instagram and maybe even come to the moon ritual via Zoom on Sunday. It's a really fun time. It's just like hours and hours of fun people talking about interesting things. Everybody kind of gets drunk. Some people may or may not smoke weed. It's cool. If you like spirituality, if you like astrology, get into it. Now enjoy the podcast.
Some people think divas
are a diva to you. Would you say, are you one?
I never said that.
Diva behavior.
Great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Diva Behavior, the podcast. We gather here together to talk about this picture that has been removed from the internet quicker than, like, the most disgraceful child porn you could possibly imagine.
Literally.
Wild. It's crazy. The way that they mobilized to get rid of this photo. So it's a picture of Khloe that was posted on her grandmother's Instagram account. And word on the street is, according to a Kardashian family spokesperson, an assistant posted this on MJ's account, which is very weird because why would an assistant be accessing her grandma's account? I think they just made that up so people, because they're so weird and warped. Like, in some ways, they're so savvy, and in other ways, they're so dumb. And I feel like they probably thought people would get mad at MJ for this.
But yeah, I think they're like protecting. I think they don't want people to slam MJ. That's like literally what they're doing.
Yeah. So they're lying and saying that an assistant posted it. They're saying that it was edited, which it clearly wasn't. And that's the whole reason why she doesn't want it up there. So it's a mess. The way they've handled this is a mess. They threw all of their weight behind getting it taken down every time someone would post it. And then today, so before we get into Khloe's reaction to this, Sarah, what did you think about this photo and the way that they were able to scrub it so quickly?
Well, I think, okay, so I saw the photo. You know, as a person who is definitely currently overweight and like,
oh my God,
I
no, understand. You're not.
Well, actually, I started working with Margarita as a health coach, and I just did like a thing where I plugged in my weight to like a BMI calculator. Apparently, I didn't have like 20 pounds to lose, LOL. This has been a fat pandemic for me. But it's all right because, you know, we are all traumatized, and it's part of that is just getting fat. So No, I'm actually fine with it. Honestly, like you can, I'll be the wheelchair person in WALL-E if that's where we're headed. Like it's,
you're
cool.
Like, not though. You are like, you look amazing as always.
Well, you know, the ring light does a lot, but, so basically I saw this photo. I understand, like, it is a little bit cringe only because we're so used to seeing such polished looks. Like Chloe now is like the queen of filtering, the queen of surgery, the queen of looking what she perceives to be perfect online. So it's just like a normal photo. Like the light is hitting her kind of weird. You know, she's a almost 40 something mother. She's had a child. She's breastfed. Like, so her body, all things considered, even in the photo that was not technically like a perfect photo, looked fabulous. Like she actually looked great. And yeah, it's an awesome photo. And then I think it's a little bit strange. I mean, I think that like the measures that they're taking to get the photo off, I mean, apparently they're like, anyone who posted the photo is getting, so it's not only cease and desist letters to like corporations, but like people are getting locked out of their Twitter accounts and people are getting locked out of their Instagram accounts. And it's like, I just feel like the picture was fine. I mean, it was not like a great, but it was a great picture. Like if I'm a normal person and I'm 40 and I had a baby and I've been working my ass off and getting touched up, I think it's a great picture. In the realm of the Kardashians photography, no, it's a normal photo and it has not been edited. It's clearly not been edited at all. And yeah. It made me so sad.
Yeah, I think the thing that is really crazy is just how much heavy lifting lighting really does do, because that's the main issue is just the lighting. Like 100%. The lighting is so weird. It makes her stomach look, have this weird, like ripply quality that it wouldn't look like in real life. It's literally just the lighting basically. And like, I never, and this is a personal thing and it has nothing to do with this, but also having your hair slicked back in a bikini is not a great move.
100%. I've been there. Yeah, I've learned that.
Right. Or if you're like in the Olympics, if you're diving into a pool as a synchronized swimmer, then you can do it. But like, it's just like, if you have your hair slicked all the way back and a bikini on, it's just naked mole rat.
Well, it's like when
the hair to distract from the body.
It's like that feeling when you like emerge from the pool and you feel really sexy and because like your hair is slick, like when you kind of dip your head back in the hair and you feel really hot. And then like, like somebody takes a picture of you or you catch yourself in the mirror and you're like, whoa, like whoops. Yeah. Okay. It felt really sexy. And right. Like there is a Victoria's Secret swimsuit edition version, or Sports Illustrated, not Victoria's Secret. There's just like a Sports Illustrated version of like emerging from water, slick back, like, but otherwise.
Denise Richards in Wild Things.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's, I think, like what we think we're doing in those moments, but really like, no, you learn quickly as a normie, it's a bad look.
Yeah. And like, I, as a woman, would never take a photo of even like one of my friends, if they had like the slamminest body in the world, I wouldn't take a picture of them with their hair up in a bikini.
Totally. I agree completely. It's just like friend code.
Yeah, like only a grandma would do that. So this grandma 100%. Did do that, and it lit the internet on fire. Everyone was tweeting like this. There were like two main responses that I saw. One of them was, she looks great. Why is she so pressed about this photo? And then the other one was, it's really ridiculous the lengths they're going to get this off the internet and how nothing is ever done about getting other things off the internet that actually are bad. Like, why can't we stop QAnon? Can we put the Kardashian legal team on QAnon? Like, what are we doing?
Seriously though. Yeah. I mean, I think that like, that is really like, I actually hadn't even thought about that, but that really is like, that's like the more important takeaway that like, yeah, with money and power and resources, you really can do whatever the fuck you want. And like, it really goes to show that our priorities as a country are, I mean, it just like, we just cater to money. We just cater to money and it's, whatever, if you can pay for it, you know, we will. It's like when people get like, you know, when people's like, when like the forest fires are going on and all like the celebrities are paying private firefighters to go protect their homes, but then like the entire city of Paradise, California is like smoked to the ground. It's like, oh man, like this is not okay.
Exactly. Like, why can't we get any of these resources on anything else? It's crazy.
Right.
And it's also funny that they're doing it with a copyright claim. And so something that they said in the original that came from Tracy Romulus was, anyone who holds a copyright has a right to get that taken. They have a right to, you know, exercise their copyright and get things taken down. And it's like, yeah, totally. But, and it said, if they don't like the photo, and it's like, no, that's not why copyright exists, but okay, whatever. Like, it's not right. Something you can take down unflattering pictures, that's but sure, so it is a copyright funny. Issue.
But I gotta say, I give it to Tracy for even pulling that out of the hat. Like, I get why she is in charge of all the KK operations, because like, that's a funny one. That's a good move, Tracy. Very funny. Yeah.
Like, let's rewrite copyright law while we're at it. Yeah. Like, let's pretend that copyright exists for unflattering photos. But so this immediately made me think of this feud a few years ago. And Keely, who's listening, you might remember this from our Galore magazine days. There was this feud between the Kardashians and Chloe Grace Moretz, where Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yes, I love this one. Oh my God, remind us. I loved this one.
So Chloe Grace Moretz said, it was after Kim posted like a naked mirror selfie.
Wait, for anybody that's listening, and Molly, I have to start over, but I want to also just say, I think it's worth noting that at this time, Chloe Grace Moretz, I believe she was like 16.
She was 19.
She was like a teenager. Yeah.
She was young enough to date Scott Disick, which just gives you an idea of how young she was.
And
also,
Brooklyn,
side note,
Brooklyn, whatever his name is, Brooklyn Posh Spice.
Yeah, Beckham. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So also side note, today Cosmopolitan UK posted this thing that was like, it was a headline and it said, Amelia Hamlin's mom speaks out about her dating Scott Disick. And I was like, whoa, this country is wild, because they don't say Lisa Rinner's daughter. They say Amelia Hamlin's mom. I was like, oh my God, they just missed the Rinner wave.
Yeah, they really did. That's so funny. Right. To them, she's the star.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's crazy. She must have had a huge misguided or Pretty Little Thing campaign here or something. And that's why everyone knows her. But
it's so funny.
Anyway, the Khloe Grace Moretz thing. So Kim Kardashian posted this like almost naked photo, and for some reason everyone flipped out. It was really weird how much people freaked out about it, because it was really nothing. It was just her like covering her boobs in the mirror with like underwear on. She had a sensor bar over her boobs, and people flipped out. There was this big moral panic. Everyone was like, you're a mother, how dare you, like bullshit like that. And Chloe Grace Moretz, who's 19 at the time, obviously like hadn't finished feminism school, because her like half-baked feminist thought was to tweet that like Kim should do something more worthwhile with her life. And it's like, well, yeah, we should all do something more worthwhile than what we're probably doing right now. We're all assholes, but like, you're an actor. You're not fucking curing cancer. And like, who cares? It's a naked photo. But so Chloe flipped out, and she posted a picture that said, she was like, oh, I think Khloe's tweet had the word asshole in it in some way. And Khloe Kardashian responded and was like, is this the asshole you're talking about? And it was a picture of Khloe on set at a movie, and she was on a guy's back, and she was jumping into a wave, and her asshole was showing.
No.
But so it turned out that wasn't actually Khloe Grace Moretz in the photo. It was an extra, and they had the same bikini on, so it looked like her. But like, all of a sudden, Khloe Kardashian is like, you have a right, or the Kardashian camp is saying, you have a right to take photos down that you don't want up. And it's like, okay, you were tweeting a picture of a barely
a child's asshole.
Yeah. 19-year-old girl's asshole she was tweeting a photo of to like get back at her in some social media beef. It's just so like hypocritical and crazy. And I mean, obviously we don't look to the Kardashians for moral guidance, but that just really like struck me.
Wouldn't it be funny if the reason that Kim ultimately went into law is because Khloe Grace Moretz was like, you need to do something important with your life. And she's like, damn, yeah.
She's like the girl who starred in Louis C.K.'s Woody Allen Allen homage, playing the minor that he fucks, says, I need to do something with my life.
It's like, she's right. Yeah, she's right. Yeah, but it's like, I really think that like what you're getting at is this like larger issue that I have. Like, I know this is not a popular opinion. We were talking about this earlier. Khloe Kardashian has been, from the beginning, my very least. I like Rob better than Khloe. I think Khloe is like an unsavory character in every way. I find her to be unstomachable, fat, thin, plastic surgery or not. I think she has no taste. I think she has really bad taste. I think she is not, she doesn't appear to be, and I say this because obviously this is my own shit, because what I'm about to say is the epitome
and
of what
also,
I'm about to say.
We're talking about Chloe, the public figure, not Chloe, the three-dimensional human, just to get
right,
that
of course,
out.
Of course, of course.
This is a celebrity-centric thing. It's not about her as a person. It's about what we right. see and what she has crafted her image to be.
Yes, I'm sure as a person, and I actually, I'm looking at her chart. I think as a person, the real truth is she is like just deeply sensitive. And I think she was thrown into this world of public comparison, and she has these two tiny little sisters who were made for TV, and she's just not. And I think that her behavior over the past 20 years has been so, just right, her public, like, I think her desire to fight with trolls online is like so pathetic. She takes every opportunity, like, of course she would post a 19-year-old's asshole in rebuttal. Like, she is ready. She's got like her dukes up. She's ready to fight. She is constantly subtweeting and trolling. And a lot of the things that she like gets upset about, at least like as far as the show is concerned, are stuff that like she does. Like, Chloe, like, the thing about this photo is like, it could have gone out and she could have made a comment like, haha, bad lighting, but like everyone's, you know, human or whatever, or not even said anything. Like, the issue is like, she doesn't realize that like when you get into the comment section, you actually flame the fire. And so like, she just is so quick to jump into the comment section and to jump in defense of fill in the blank. And it's like, yo man, we would be over this by now. The only reason we're still talking about it is because of the great lengths that she went through to try to get this photo off. And then, of course, the only reason I looked up the picture is because I was like, it's forbidden. I can't see the picture. And then I'm like, I gotta find the picture, right? Like,
yeah, it's Streisand
effect. She's making it more, it's exactly, like, she's making it more interesting than it actually is.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's get to her. No, I don't, it's not an apology, it's a statement. So she posted a statement. I mean, for me, as somebody who I do still do pop culture coverage for blogs and stuff. So it was like Christmas waking up this morning and seeing this shit show on her Instagram. Like, so she posts, first it was a video of her in her underwear in the bathroom, jumping up and down to show what her body really looks like. Next is she apparently did an Instagram live last night and someone's in the corner. I can't tell who it is. I can't tell if it's Kylie or what. It's probably not Kylie, but she's in a thong and like whale tailing it up above the sweatpants. And she's like posing as if she's in a music video or something. And then it's a screen grab from that video. And then it's this long ass statement. So the thing that stuck out to me most in the statement is,
I almost want to say, like, this sounds crazy, but like, I have a lot of comments about the statement. Do you want to just like read the statement? It's really not too long.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I've read it a million times and even transcribed it today. So I'll give you guys the cliff notes. So, hey guys, this is me and my body unretouched and unfiltered. The photo that was posted this week is beautiful. Obviously she doesn't think that, but as someone who has struggled with body image her whole life, when someone takes a photo of you that isn't flattering, in bad lighting, or doesn't capture your body the way it is after working so hard to get it to this point and then shares it to the world, you should have every right to ask for it to not be shared regardless of who you are. Okay, sure. But like, you weren't singing that tune when you were posting Chloe Grace Moretz's body doubles asshole. In truth, the pressure, constant ridicule and judgment my entire life to be perfect and meet other standards of how I should look has been too much to bear. Now, this is what I can't get over. So she lists out these things that she's heard a bunch of times. Chloe is the fat sister. Chloe is the ugly sister. Her dad must not be her real dad because she looks so different. The only way she could have lost.
I want to say I believe that, but keep going.
I do too. The only way she could have lost the weight must have been from surgery. So these are, those last two rumors are like the crazy thing for her to acknowledge them. And she has it.
Yeah. Like why would you even call attention to those two things? Cause that's actually not really what people are saying in this moment. And like, whoa.
Okay. So the big theory now, so the previous theory about her dad, Keely just asked if this is the first time she acknowledged it, the OJ thing. So there was a theory about her dad being OJ Simpson. That has, because she actually looks so much like OJ Simpson's daughter.
She actually like, does.
It's crazy.
I went to college with her. I have a story about her later if you want it.
OJ Simpson's daughter?
Yeah, yeah. She's
is
so
it
much.
Like a nice story or is it like
well,
sad?
It's not, it's neither. It's a crazy story. It's something that happened to me though, so I feel that I can discuss it.
All right.
And I think if Sydney heard it, she would co-sign. It's what happened. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I'm a Boston University student. Everyone at BU at that time is like stupid fucking rich. And I was just like the girl who had a job. Okay. So I was not like in a lot of the social scenes because, which is like a very like Manhattan, like LA, like it's a very like city school kind of vibe, right? Mm-hmm. So my only way to really like reach out to people and try to connect in these social circles that I was not involved in was to share my DVD box sets, which at the time was all we had. We
didn't have Netflix. Gold,
we didn't have gold, right? So I had like my Frasier box set, I had my SVU box set, and I had my whole Sex and the City box set, okay? So I made friends with this one kind of like socialite girl. I won't say her name, but she's like a New York chick. And I lent her in an attempt to be socially accepted. I lent her my whole Sex and the City box set of DVDs.
Can you type her name to me? Can you say it in sign language? And if we figure it out, we can say it in pig Latin. And if we figure it out, we can know.
Well, I don't know if you would know her name, but like she probably is Google. It's Anagan Nagan Nagak. I'll tell you.
Okay,
later.
I don't know that one. Okay, okay.
She's just like a rich, she's like a New York gal, right? Yeah, that was, I don't know, my pig Latin might be a little, you know, I get a little nervous.
Because but I probably like, do know who she is because I'm sick in the head. That's why I'm asking. But sorry, keep going.
We'll stalk her after. I have no idea what she's up to these days. But at the time, she was definitely like a coked up nightclub mess, which was like so cool at the time.
Goals.
So I lent her my DVD, my full series DVD box set of Sex and the City. This is a huge offer to someone. And for the rest of the school year, it was like spring of my freshman year. And I kept messaging her as the year came to an end, like, hey, can I grab my DVDs from you? Hey, can I grab my DVDs from you? She's like, hey, actually, I lent them to Sydney, who is OJ's daughter. So
Sydney Simpson, is that her name?
Sydney Simpson. So I DM Sydney and I'm like, hey girl, like we had like known, we weren't like friends, but we like, you know, we were like in the same social scene. Cause like I somehow am cool, but like I was on the periphery. Right. So like we were friends, we were Facebook friends. I sent her a DM. I was like, hey girl, like, I think literally lent you my DVDs. If I could just get the back from you, I would really appreciate it. No response, but the message has been seen. Right. So then it's like 2 days left of the school year, I actually go to Sydney's dorm. She was just a dorm kid. Like she just, I don't know, she's trying to be normal or something. She just had a dorm room. So I went over to her dorm. She was in my area and I knocked on the door and there was nobody there. Right. So I was like, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. I leave a little note, I'll come back tomorrow to get the DVDs. I come back tomorrow to get the DVDs and I knock on the door and I hear rustling inside the room. But I'm knocking on the door. She will not come to the door. Right. So I'm like, hey, not sure what's going on. Like, I'll just come back later, whatever, right? But like, she's clearly ignoring me. She's in the room. I can hear her in the room. So then about, I guess like later that night, I don't know, a couple hours later, I come back and I knock on the door and there's no sound. And I kind of knock on the door again, like, cause I'm getting nervous at this point. Like, I don't have like box set money really. Like, so I'm like, I gotta get my DVDs back. This is my lifeblood, right? So I knock on the door like a little bit harder and the door opens and the room is completely clean, completely bare, except on the corner of the bed, there is the case for my box set of DVDs. And I was like, oh, what a sweetie. Like, okay, she didn't want to socialize. Totally fair. Let me grab them. So I take the DVDs back to my room. I'm so excited. I'm like, what a nice girl. I was about to fucking trash her or whatever. And I open up the case and every DVD was missing. It was only the case.
What? Do you think that was like,
I don't know. She's OJ's daughter, man. She, you know, she has a little bit of a need to steal. I don't know.
Oh, she didn't find a glove. Keely said,
I did not find, there was no glove. There was no, well, actually in this case, it was all glove. This was actually kind of like a reverse. Yeah. It was all glove.
If the case don't fit, you must acquit.
Right, all glove, no love, and yeah, I mean, if the case is bare, your DVDs aren't anywhere. I mean, I don't know, that's quite design, but no, it was a devastating experience for me. I for many years I kept that story secret because the other Sydney Simpson story I have, the only other run-in I have with her, and then we can move on, is that, and I think it's important that I share this too because it shows the other side of her. It was Marathon Monday, which in Boston is like the biggest party day of the year. So if you're a college student and during Marathon Monday, they run through the campus. So the whole campus becomes just like a binge drinking party, right? I was sitting on the steps one day, everyone was hanging out and I was smoking a joint and it was a windy day, and I was trying to light the thing, and I accidentally lit my hair on fire, and I kind of smelled it, but like I didn't really know what was going on, and somebody came and smacked me in the head, like basically putting out the fire, and I didn't really know what happened, and it was Sydney. So she did steal my DVDs, but she also did put out the fire. I lit my bangs on fire basically, and she put them out for me. So I thought, you know, I feel like we're even on some level, yeah. But like, yeah, those are my two Sydney Simpson stories.
Wow, she's multifaceted, all right.
Big time, yeah. Well, you know, she's had an interesting life.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's for sure. So, wow, what an incredible detour. Thank you, Sarah.
Sorry.
So, basically, that's what people say is that OJ was Chloe's dad. But if you Google, and I want everyone who's listening to open a new tab and Google Kris Jenner hairdresser.
Whoa.
And tell me what you think.
Challenge accepted, doing it right now. And also I want to say that when I was doing my Kardashian research, when I was listening to that podcast, that like the Only the Rich Behind the Scenes podcast, which if anyone has listened, highly recommend. But Kris Jenner was a notorious cheater. Like she was not even close to faithful to Robert Kardashian.
She was certified freak 7 days a week.
No, she literally was. And like she didn't even want to marry him. Like he pursued her hardcore. She was actually not that interested in him. And from the moment they were married until the day he died, he always just loved her and was kind of like chasing her. But she was not faithful to him for 1 second. Never, never, never.
Yeah,
so oh my God. She looks, oh my God. Oh my God. She looks exactly like him. I'm dying.
See? So I never believed the OJ thing because I was like, that is too convenient a theory. Like, just to say, oh, because Kris knew OJ, she would have slept with him. I was like, it's too good to be true. That OJ is the secret. It's too salacious to be true. But this guy, this hairdresser, she looks like a clone of him.
I think that, this is like bombshell stuff, Molly. Like the bomb drops, like I'm blown away. I just wanted to say that the reason I always didn't think that it was an OJ daughter thing is because I do think Kris's one real friend I think Nicole Simpson was her best friend, and I think that OJ was Robert's best. I think she loved Nicole. I don't think she would have done that to Nicole. But looking at this photo, I'm blown away, Molly.
But this is the thing also about Kris is like, as we've seen from the Kardashians throughout their reign, their pop culture reign, they will throw any woman under the bus. They don't give a fuck. Like, they threw Jordan under the bus. They've thrown so many different women, like Black Chyna, but also those.
Oh yeah.
Well, Jordan was like a true. She was co-parenting Stormy with Kylie, and they threw her out.
That really breaks my heart. Actually, that's like another thing we could talk about. I would love to look at Kylie and Jordan's chart together, even. But that Jordan Woods thing, man, that killed me. That broke my fucking heart. Like, she was a kid at a cool party at the end of the night, aka 6 a.m, and he pecked her on the cheek. I'm sure they were flirting, but he was out there flirting with everyone. Like, oh my God, that is so mean. But I love Jordan. I stan Jordan.
Yeah, and I think they were on a break at that time. Like, even think they were together at all. So it's like, who cares? But yeah, I think so to get back to Chloe's statement.
Wow, this hairdresser is insane.
Right. She's just a clone of him. And so to get back to her statement, she alludes to her dad must not be her real dad. And Keely's question was if this is the first time she's alluding to this. There was a storyline on the show in a pretty recent season where Kris was like, I know that this rumor bothers you a lot. You can get a DNA test if you want. And they teased it for the whole show, which is really twisted that they teased this. Like, oh, will she or won't she?
It's their genius too. It's why they're genius.
But it's crazy because it's like, okay, your paternity is up for discussion. And she ends up not taking the test because she ends up basically saying, okay, if I find, she's like, my dad was my dad. I don't care. And I think it's sort of the unspoken thing is like, okay, Robert Kardashian Sr. is dead. And like, yeah, why would you want to know? If you find out he wasn't your dad, then what? So like, why?
I do think it's interesting though, because if she really truly felt that Robert Kardashian was her father, she would have taken the test. Like to shut the haters up, you would be like, look, I got a paternity test. Yeah. Everyone can fuck off to hell. No, the fact that even on a soul level, she was like, I don't want to know, means that she knows.
Yeah, she knows. And I mean, also I feel bad even speculating about this because I don't think it's a classy move, but at the same time it was on the show and she put it in the statement. So I feel like it's fair game.
Right. Well, and that's why I felt so bad even at the beginning. I don't know if I got my sentence out earlier, but like, I don't feel that Chloe operates in a state of like high class behavior. That being said, this whole conversation may not be a state of high class behavior.
So yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's all mirrors with guys. It's all mirrors. We're not really judging as much as like, we're all tasteless. Okay.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I'm sure people talk about just as petty of shit about me and I don't care. Go for it. Right. But I'm not a celebrity. But if you want to write a blog about how stupid I am, go for it.
We hope someday that you will trash us publicly because we are so famous. LOL.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was surprised to see her bring up the dad thing because I thought that after they did it in the show, that was it. That was it. Put to bed. And then I was surprised that she alludes to the only way she could have lost that weight must have been from surgery. Now, she doesn't confirm or deny the surgery. Obviously, we don't know. We haven't seen her medical records, but I have seen Chloe in real life before.
Oh, when?
So when I worked at the New York Observer, my friend Jordan and I, we had this wild notion one day. We saw something on Chloe's Instagram that was like, Dash Hamptons is opening tomorrow when they did Courtney and Chloe Take the Hamptons. Yes. So we were like, what if we ask our boss if we can just go to the Hamptons and stalk the Kardashians? And we were like, let's just try it. And normally we would be like blogging as if we were in a coal mine all day, like literally just pumping out 15 stories a day and like not allowed to leave our desks once. But so we were like, he's never gonna say yes. But I sent him the email and he was like, oh, come into my office. And we went in his office and he was like, anything in the Hamptons is a yes. We need more Hamptons coverage. Go ahead.
We
like, what? Oh my God. So we stalked them to the Hamptons. We literally went, we got out there. We took like 3 wrong trains. It took us 6 hours to get out to Montauk on like a Wednesday in April. There was no traffic or anything. So we got there. And we went straight to the Dash store and we stood inside for 2 seconds and Chloe and Courtney walked in with a camera crew. So like,
oh my God, it worked. Molly, it worked.
I know. So Jordan and I are in the background of the show. I have a screenshot. I'll send it to you. And we're both like giggling in the background. And the crazy, here's the crazy thing. The whole premise of what they were shooting was, oh, Courtney and Chloe are coming to look at the store and see if it's good enough or whatever. So they did that and they left. And then Jordan and I sat outside after that. And the store manager came outside and called someone else and was like, oh yeah, they just came here to look at the store. And this is what they said. And this is what we have to do for tomorrow. And the cameras were gone. They didn't know we were still there. Like it really was real. Like they really were looking at the store for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. So good on them for that. But I bring this up because this was right after, if Chloe got a BBL, a Brazilian butt lift, this must have been like the first day she was allowed to walk on her hind legs after that, because it was like, I had never seen a butt like that in my life. And there weren't as many fake butts back then. Like now you see them everywhere, but
yeah,
I had never seen it, let alone in real life. And it was truly, she was wearing a black long dress, like a tight bodycon black dress, and her butt literally came to a point. It was true. And her stomach was so skinny and her butt was it came to a point like that.
And I mean, this is years ago. I mean, that I'm trying to think back, like what year was that? Because that show was a long time ago.
Probably 2013.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah.
And so, I'm trying to remember, like, when did she go into her whole like revenge body phase? Like,
because it was around this time.
Because I think it's very clear, like, whether or not she's had anything done, she does. All these women work out. I mean, they obviously put a huge amount of time and effort into maintaining their physiques, which I could take a page from their book. It might be good to move my body. I got a steps counter. I had like 12 the other day. It's like, so, you know, it's like, so I'm not dissing them, but it's like, you know, I feel like, yeah, to bring up the father thing and to bring up the surgery thing is so, it's just like, you know, when like you're in a fight with someone and you just like unload and then like just from that like triggered place and then you like kind of fall back and you're like, ooh, I don't know if I need to say all that.
Yeah.
I feel like this appears to be a very like put together statement, but no, she was writing that with her thumbs in the fire of the pit of her hell. Like, no, I need to say this. And it's like,
okay, I disagree. Because I've read a lot of Kardashian statements/apologies, notes app, you know, documents in my day. And the quality of the writing here is just so much better than what it normally is. It's
still bad. Dude, I can't.
Yeah, it's still full of cliches. It's just like the punctuation and the grammar and the spelling is on such a higher level.
Yeah, but it's still so bad. I am not a grammar Nazi. I will date someone with the wrong there from their Tinder profile. Like, I am not I cannot stand Chloe's sentence structure. The way that she says, like, one another all the time instead of being, like, each other. Like, we love to be here. We love being here with one another. And it's like, who taught you that? Like, what? And then she does it here, too, where she's like, you have every, what is this part of the statement where she's like, you have every right to whatever. Like, she switches between you and I. Oh, it makes me crazy. And like, she's like, so stupid.
It's like queen of saying individual instead of person, you know?
Yeah. Like, why are we using bigger words? Like, it's like literally, like, that's her way of, like, sounding smarter, and it only makes her sound so much more ignorant.
So this is what I think, though, about this statement. I do think this statement was focus grouped. I think it went through several eyes. I think, like, the editor-in-chief of Poosh probably glanced at it and made sure there were no glaring errors, because it is better than what they usually put out. And I think the reason why she mentioned the dad and mentioned the plastic surgery is that she's furthering a storyline and she's not resolving it. This statement is not meant to
Shit, Molly. Yeah. Whoa. You guys, this is hard. This is the best podcast of the year so far. This is hard hitting shit. Oh my God, Molly, you're killing me. You're blowing my mind. Keep going. I'm loving this.
She's not wrapping up the storyline right now. She's not saying, hey.
She's actually opening up the storyline.
Yeah, she's opening it up and she's saying, okay, maybe I'll be a little more vulnerable in that I will acknowledge all of these crazy rumors. But at the same time, I am not going to stop posting these insanely, like, polished, edited images of myself. And I'm going to get you to feel bad for me by saying that I am insecure and comparing myself and blah, 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 blah. And, she's not wrapping it up. She's not saying, because it would be so easy for her to just close the book and say, oh yeah, that was a bad photo. Like you said, that was a bad photo. Right. Whoops. Ha ha. But no.
I mean, not even, I mean, it's like the levels that they are taking to, I mean, the fact that there even needs to be a statement is insane. Like, and not to mention, I mean, you know, not that Kim is the princess of all, but there have been some pretty bad photos of Kim leaked by the press and put out there by people. And like, whether she cares or not, we don't really know, but like, she kind of just like rides through it. You know, it's like, you never really hear Kim. Remember when Kim had when Kim had North and she had like a 70-pound weight gain or something, and it was hard for her to take the weight off. They did make it like a part of the show in terms of storyline where she was saying like, I'm just so insecure. I'm wearing 10 things of shapewear. Like, I feel so fat or whatever, but like, she still showed up and man, there are some fucking ugly aspects. Even like the fact that Kim has gone super viral with that ugly cry face. It's like, I just feel like Chloe doesn't really get that. I guess like my issue is this. Chloe's statement is, on the one hand, yes, like, vulnerable, sure. Although it's nothing aside from the like rumor stuff. It's nothing we don't know. Obviously she's the other Kardashian, and obviously she's insecure, and obviously this has been the issue, the whole story and the whole show, the last 20 seasons, that's like what this has been about, right? She's obviously marrying men who are not actually into her and or like faithful or whatever. So she clearly has insecure stuff. I'm fine with all that. But I think the issue is that like, Chloe has an opportunity here to actually be a good role model. Like, the amount of people in this country and across the globe who struggle with either being the ugly sister with their weight or being the funny friend. And what Chloe doesn't realize is that like, not only do we give her, we do applaud her transformation, whether she has a bad surgeon or not. I still think she has Michael Jackson face. I don't think it was the best nose to pick for the face. And like, you know, she can touch and tailor and do all the things she wants. Even like, the funny thing about Chloe is even the photos where she's posting and she's like adjusting them and putting filters or whatever, it's like she's doing that weird like old Skechers look where it's like she's elongating her already very long body, and so she has like a fucking 7-foot torso. I mean, the whole her style is so whack. Like, she has bad taste, she has the hot pink hair, she looks ridiculous a lot of the time. But it's like, what she doesn't get is that like, she has an opportunity with this platform to actually be a voice for this conversation, but she completely is ignoring the fact that like, by taking this really good photo down that she should actually be super fucking proud of. And yeah, the lighting was bad, but you can still see her abs. You can, she's thin as hell.
Yeah.
She looks really good. Like she, if that was just like a, if somebody found that photo in their mom's drawer being like, yo, this was mom when she was 40, it'd be like, mom's hot. Like it's a hot photo. Right. But so what she doesn't get is that like when she talks about like how hard she's worked and how insecure she is, I think it's a real bummer because there are a lot of people out there that feel that way, but that don't have the resources that she has, that could not take down a nice photo. Like they couldn't get surgery. They couldn't work out at, you know, to the extent that she does with the trainers that she does with the fitness gear that she does. Like she is completely over the top. Yeah, so she mentions it. She's like, I know that like I come from privilege or whatever. Like, what does it say in the statement? It's like, I come from privilege, but that doesn't mean I'm not insecure or something. What is it?
Yeah, which she shouldn't have even mentioned her privilege because it's like, you're literally like, you shouldn't even mention it. But the one thing I do want to go through in the statement that is wild, but just before we wrap up that is,
I mean, I could never wrap this up. I could go on all day. This is like, this is the joy of my life, Molly. The statement you're killing me. Really, you're killing me right now. I'm loving it.
Well, because I want to say something about her as a role model, but I also want to say this thing in the statement that's crazy. I love a good filter, good lighting, and an edit here and there.
Like, here and there?
Understatement of the year. You're a hologram. You are a hologram. Right. You are help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope on Instagram, like, all day, every day. And she says, the same way I throw on some makeup, get my nails done, or wear a pair of heels to present myself to the world the way I want to be seen, and it's exactly what I will continue to do unapologetically. My body, my image, and how I choose to look and what I want to share is my choice. It's not for anyone to decide or judge what is acceptable or not anymore. So it's like, it's so interesting because like you said, she could choose to be a role model. I don't want to make famous women be role models. I feel like it's too much pressure and it sucks.
Yeah.
But what she's saying here is like, I am basically what she's saying is, yes, I am rich enough to create this hologram existence for myself and I'm not going to stop.
That's what she's saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I love to filter. I love to get good lighting. I love to edit my photos. I love to get my nails done. I am going to be the architect of my own image and I am not going to do any inner work, which I am not either. I also am not doing any inner work on like how I feel about my appearance. I have a fucking Botox consultation next week. Like I'm in same boat.
Cannot wait to hear. You got to tell. I want to hear about that next week. I'm so curious.
Like I'm in the same boat as her. Like I also hate my appearance, but it's just so funny that she's writing this like long-winded statement basically saying, yeah, I am going to keep posting fictional photos of myself. This is what I want to do. And she ends the statement with, whichever way one chooses to be seen, I have realized that one, I realized that we cannot continue to live life trying to fit into the perfect mold of what others have set for us. But you are trying to do that. Just do you and make sure your heart is happy.
But now, see, that's where the statement is so backwards. You're so right. Because it's like on the one hand, I've worked really hard to make my body a certain way. And therefore I don't want to show you that. I want to continue to nip and tuck in the edit suite so that you think it's even better than it already is actually what she's saying.
Exactly. And here's where it gets annoying. Where it gets annoying is, okay, yes, we're all subject to these crazy forces of looking at other people's bodies, comparing them to our own, airbrushing, Photoshop, especially people who grew up in the 2000s when body positivity wasn't even a term yet.
Totally.
So we're all subjected to that. Chloe is complaining about being subjected to that. My issue is their entire family has sold waist trainers. The fucking woman who sold them their waist trainers, Prima Donna, she commented on this and was like, you're awesome, girl. And Chloe responds and is like, yeah, I love you. The fucking waist trainer lady. So I'm like, you're perpetuating this. So this is the biggest F you, biggest slap in the face of it all is her denim line. Good American. The slogan is representing body acceptance. So that's where it's just like,
so off. It's just so off.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you, yes, of course, none of us have to accept our bodies. I do not accept my body whatsoever. I do not accept my face. I do not accept my hair. I change it all. But like, I'm not walking around selling people $100 pairs of jeans that say representing body acceptance.
Well, that's, I think this is like the crux of the whole Chloe issue here, which is that, like, I don't think that she, like, again, I think that Kim is why the family has this show. Kim and Chris are the masterminds behind everything. Courtney is pretty enough and little enough and doesn't really care. I mean, she cares, but she's there are very few images of Courtney that we've ever seen that are bad. This woman takes optimal care of herself and doesn't really care about anything but looking good and taking care of her kids.
She's the real, like, G in terms of aging incredibly and just being, but also, like, just having great genes, obviously.
I mean, I would be curious because, like, to me, it seems like she's probably the one that has had the least work done. I mean, she does look exactly the same as she did, like, this whole time. Yeah. Maybe, like, again, nipping and tucking in Hollywood is, like, I don't necessarily count that. Like, or just, like, you know, filler or whatever. But, like, she looks incredible. She has fucking 3 kids. She's hot as shit.
Yeah. For sure. But, yeah, this is the thing with the Chloe.
Chloe's just always been, like, floundering. She's kind of just, like, this floppy fish came up in a wave onto the boat, and she's just flopping around trying to kind of, like, it's almost like she's, like, in a tizzy trying to just grab whatever pieces she can and, like, make it a part of her brand so that she's empowered. And it's like, it all doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but do you know what I will say? I think that the show wouldn't work without her because, yes, she wouldn't have probably gotten famous on her own unless she was doing, like, WWE wrestling or something random. I don't know why I thought of that.
That would be, like, the move. That would be the only place I think she would make sense.
She's a cartoonish person. She has a cartoonish personality. She is good at, like, she's charismatic enough to be on TV. And, like, there are so many seasons of that show where she is really the emotional anchor of the show.
Right, and but I would much rather see her, like, throwing a Courtney in a ring than actually trying to pretend like she's, like, into body positivity, except she totally fucking hates herself.
Right, exactly. So I think I disagree with the notion that she's not made for TV. I think she makes pretty good TV, as much as I can't really stand her. It's kind of like she's one of the Real Housewives that I don't like, but I acknowledge the show needs her. You know what I mean?
Agree, yes.
Yeah. So now here's something that I've been thinking about that I hate that I think this. Because it's so snobby and fucked up. But whenever I see another controversy about the photos that they put up of themselves, like, some of them are 40 now. They're all, like, nearing 40 or 40. Uh-huh. I really, truly, like, whenever they're getting bent out of shape about the way people think of their appearance, I'm just like, how are you not sick of this, first of all? How are you not sick of the conversation of what you look like? It's so boring. Like, it's so boring. And then with the Chloe thing, I'm like, girl, read a book. And I hate that. That's my first thought. But I'm just like, you gotta read a book. You gotta get some sort of other outlet for your brain other than your Instagram and what you look like, because it is clearly destroying you and it's damaging the rest of us.
Yeah, I agree. Like, well, and to the point we were making before, the real bummer of all of this, not only, like, are you sick of it and, like, nobody cares, we don't care, the only reason that the photo is top of mind now is because they made such a stink about it. If it was, the truth is, if it was actually a photo that was just circulating and she didn't say a thing, I would guess that, like, most of the comments would actually be, like, if anything, it might say bad lighting, but, like, she looks thin and hot. You can see her. She looks great. Like, it would have been like, it actually would have been celebrated, like a real photo of Chloe.
Yes.
Like, it would have been like, she could have been a hero from this photo.
But she should have taken it and posted it. She should have posted it on her Instagram.
Posted it on her Instagram is exactly right.
Yeah, like, haha, my grandma took this picture, whatever. I'm happy here. And I'm like, whatever.
And I'm so proud of these fucking bomb abs, and even the worst picture of me is better than all of you, you fucking suckers. Like, right, she should have been, like, hella confident about it.
Yeah. So the other thing that I want to briefly touch on is, like, another thing that I wish I wasn't thinking is this is a downside of the whole concept of famous for being famous, because she doesn't have any other outlet to put this mental energy into. She has nothing else to think about. If she was a musician, she would be like, this sucks. I'm going to go in the studio and write some music.
Yeah.
If she was an actor, she could be like, I'm going to go read some scripts, find my next project. Like, if she was anything other than just nothing, Like, she just is a reality star. And, like, she just cares about the way she looks. She doesn't seem to really, like, she has this superficial sort of, oh, I try to be kind, I try to be good-hearted thing. But it's like, you, again, posted a picture of a teenager's asshole on Instagram. Like, I don't care how hard you're trying, you're failing. Like, and obviously I've done shitty things too, but I'm not out here being like, are you trying to be a kind person? You know?
No, but to, like, your point though, you're so right that, like, it's actually even sadder when you put it all together, because it's like, well, what she does throw herself into, aside from, like, addressing the public about a bad photo where she looks great, is that then she's going to go, if she's going to do anything to, like, refocus her mind, she's going to, like, go back into her, like, businesswoman mode and work on this company that's all about supporting body positivity. So, like, the whole thing is so, it must hurt in every single way, because, like, she actually can't escape. She's actually built her life around this conversation, whether it was, like, by choice or not, but she actually leaned, I feel like
That's so true. She's trapped herself in this conversation.
She's trapped herself. And I feel like this is actually, like, I think what we're seeing here is a real bastard child issue, where, like, I think that when it comes to Kim and Kylie and even Kendall, Chris is extremely hands-on there for, like, she has taken her three, like, prettiest, I mean, I think Courtney is prettiest, but Courtney is not that interested in any of this. She just happens to be there.
She's literally barely interested in breathing.
Couldn't care. Like, she literally doesn't care about, she's just chilling, right? But, like, yeah. I think Chris's big cash cows are Kim, Kylie, and Kendall. And she has really done a beautiful job as a momager, shaping these women's careers, shaping the narrative, like, really encouraging their strengths, making them the, like, best that they specifically could be. I feel like Khloé kind of got, I mean, look, it wasn't even until, like, Good Americans, a fairly new company. Like, it wasn't until recently that Khloé even had, and, like, until she dated Lamar and she actually had a boyfriend for the first time, we didn't even, she had nothing going on.
She had a DUI. Like, that was all she had.
Like, which I actually like her better for that. At least she's fucking
yeah,
normal.
Yeah, it was funny.
You know, it's like, right. Like, it's like, I think
that obviously it, drunk think, driving isn't funny, but the no, episode no. was funny. Yes.
But it's like, Chris, I think, has dropped the ball in Camp Khloé, because she didn't know what to do with it from the beginning. There's obviously guilt and shame that she's now, I say you heard it here first, but it is her hairdresser's daughter. I think that she kind of just never expected Khloé to, like, have this kind of a transformation. I think she was always just going to be the, like, funny little sister and, like, hope for the best. So I think now Khloé has trapped herself in this body conversation. I mean, everything about her entire business that is her own is about body and body positivity and revenge body and getting fit and jeans for all sizes and we love fat people too and I'm the fat sister. And it's like, she's tortured and she's torturing herself. And, like, yeah, the only thing that could help is if she actually stepped out of the conversation or actually had the conversation that her brand is trying to have. But she, as a CEO and as a celebrity, is not actually interested in having that conversation at all. And yet she's trapped.
That is so true and so interesting. And it would be cool to see her, for us to be going on this journey of body acceptance with her, because it is
totally
easier said than done. 100%. Like, it makes me think of when Ashley Graham appeared on Khloé's show and she was on Revenge yes. Body and everyone flipped out and they were like, why are you on Revenge Body? You're a plus size model. And it's like, and she had to be like, just because I'm a plus size model doesn't mean I'm not in shape. Like, it doesn't mean I don't yep. work out. So yep. that is, like, the kind of thing that, like, was an educational moment for Ashley Graham's fans to be like, oh, wow, let me think about this in a different way. Like, I can be plus size and work out. It doesn't mean I'm punishing myself. Oh, what an interesting concept, you know?
I am sort of curious. I agree completely. And we didn't get recorded, but you did such a good job of guessing Jen Shaw's sun rising and moon. I am sort of curious to hear. I don't know if you know her chart, but
okay, yeah.
Do you think that you could guess, and Keely, feel free to chime in, if you guys feel like you can guess Khloé's sun, moon, and rising, I will lay, because it actually makes perfect sense looking yeah. at her chart, but I want to see if you guys
yeah,
can
I was
going
to say, let's get into the astrology now, because so for everyone who's listening, Sarah is an incredible astrologer, and she has been dropping all this knowledge. We had an incredible talk about Jen Shaw's chart on Monday, and it didn't freaking save.
Khloé is a Cancer sun. She also has her Venus and her Mercury in Cancer. So that shows us why she's so like touchy and why she's so like, she really ultimately is a bit of a homebody. And like, you know, I think no matter what, she was going to have a public career on some level just because of the way this chart is laid out. But I think that she, I think that ultimately at her best, she really is a really good nurturer. But as we know, like the dark side of Cancer is that like, you know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? So like, if it, like a Cancer can be really warm and nurturing and loving. At its worst, a Cancer is like super controlling, vindictive, like gonna fucking come after you because they do have that mama bear. Like, and so even if they're defending themselves, they're like, you know, they just, it's like when they feel like a boundary or their security has been pressed upon, it is like all hell breaks loose, like the same way like that mother energy would, right? Now, I love the two guesses. Here's where we were a little bit off, but very right on. So she is a Virgo rising. So it's not that, I think when we're talking about Chloe's like hard-headedness, a lot of what we're seeing is that Virgo rising, because a Virgo rising is really doing everything they fucking can. It's like, you could be like 1,000 pounds and like dying of a drug overdose as a Virgo rising, but you will make sure that on your deathbed, you have your pearls on. Like Virgo risings need you to think that they have it all together. They need to be in. Virgo is like maybe the most controlling sign, low key. It's the perfectionist. It is the, so for, you know, and it's also like the physical body. It's working out. It is weight. It is, you know, so I feel, and it's health. Like Virgo is health. Virgo is also mental health. And Virgo is the energy of like daily routines that keep you healthy. So I think Virgo rising for Chloe makes perfect sense, because it also indicates, you know, if you have a Virgo rising, that means that your seventh house, which is your marriage house, your relationship house, starts in Pisces. And if you're doing relate, so it's like almost like she has this like perfect exterior, or wants to have a perfect exterior, is working super hard on her exterior. But then we can see like in her relationship life, that shit is a watery ass mess. Like it is as nebulous. None of her partners are into fidelity. None of her partners seem to have any sort of like actual baseline commitment to her. And that really is a very seventh house Pisces thing. So I think that works out. Now the moon is very interesting. So it's not Scorpio, but I would like to talk about the Scorpio in her chart after this. But her moon, so she has a Gemini moon. So to me, Gemini moons, Geminis are our duality, right? Gemini is all about, you know, partnership, and it's this and that. It's light and dark. I want to go out, but I also want to stay in, right? So I think what we're seeing in Chloe, and her moon and her sun are in the 10th house. So I think that what we're seeing is like the flip-flop of Chloe's ideology playing out in real time here, which is like, on the one hand, I'm all about body positivity. I'm all about working out. I want everyone to know that like, I'm as real as it gets. And on the other hand, she's like, and I will continue to filter, and I will continue to stretch my body and make my hair purple if I want to. And it's just like, okay. So these two completely opposing views exist in this person, and specifically in their public image and in their career. So I think that that is really like, perfect.
And then she sort of uses emotional manipulation to try and get us all on board with these two opposing views, like just going into how insecure she feels, blah, 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 blah. Like for me, with my chart, Capricorn, Taurus, Pisces, if this scandal happened to me, I would, telling people how sad I am would be the 10th thing.
The last thing you did. You would never.
I would probably do the Kim thing, which is to just ride it out and maybe laugh about it.
Yeah. And I think also what we're seeing too is like, you know, Gemini moons live to, if I was going to say one moon is the comment section, it is Gemini moon. Like Gemini moon lives for a tussle, they want to debate, they want to fight, not even fight in a bad way, but they want to like get into it, right? Like Gemini moons care a lot about what the little people think and what everybody thinks. They care a lot. It's a very mental energy, so they care a lot what everyone thinks. They'll get in there and look at every single thing and then talk. They want it. Like Chloe, even though she may think that she's having a horrible time with this, she's in heaven. Like she lives for
funny.
She lives for the comment section. That's why she's so quick to jump in whenever there's any kind of defending that needs to be done. Or she is like the queen of subtweeting, subposting, whatever, because she can't help herself. This is like her greatest joy. And she has her north node, meaning like the purpose of her iteration, like her fate, the reason she's here, and her Chiron, which is her deepest wound, in the exact same place, right on her midheaven, like right near her legacy. So I actually think we are seeing a really perfect picture of this playing out, which is that like she's taking this wound, or she's taking something that she's insecure about, or something that she's hurting about, talking about it publicly, using it to fuel her. You know, her midheaven is at 7 degrees Gemini, her north node and her Chiron are at 5 and 6. So it's almost like she has a wound in the ninth house that kind of leading her up to figuring out what her life's work is, which is like to present even though she's wounded. And then it becomes her life's work to be like, I am carrying this duality, and I'm carrying this insecure side and this really confident side and this really fat side and this really thin side. And I have, you know, so she actually is living her chart quite perfectly. Like this really is her purpose of her life is basically to go in on the comment section.
So why do you think it looks like such a mess and looks like so backwards to those of us observing her?
Well, because it is Gemini moons are, and I want to say I have a lot of love. One of my best friends is a Gemini moon. My mother has a Gemini moon, but like Gemini moons are confused. They're confused and they're confusing. And I think that part of why it looks like such a mess is because it is such a mess. And I think that like the messiness, I mean, while her statement is, I don't like her statement. I have a lot of issues with it, but I think that what she is here kind of, especially with that Chiron and North Node and legacy right in Gemini too, like it's all there. I think that she actually, even though she's not saying the words that are showing us the mess, if you zoom out, the whole thing is the mess. And she's actually like a player in this mess. And so, you know, even if she wants to make a perfect statement or say something that like gets us all on her side or whatever, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, the mess is what's true. The fact that this is even an issue is what's interesting.
If she was a totally well-adjusted person and she was living her chart's purpose to the fullest extent and doing it in a way that was just like beautiful and harmonious, what would that look like?
Talk show host.
But she had a talk show and it got canceled.
Well, yes, but I think that it's in large part because she already was in, like, if Khloé was not a Kardashian, if Khloé was not Kim's sister, if Khloé, I mean, look, she has all of this Gemini. Gemini also represents siblings. It represents, you know, early childhood education. It represents kind of, it really is like family, right? Now, we talk about Scorpio. Khloé has her Saturn conjunct her Mars in Scorpio in the third house. So interesting for two reasons. Reason number one, because I think this does indicate that she has a different father than her siblings. I think that that is a clear indication to me, like, oh shit, yeah, like you actually, you are different. There's a dark secret there. Your karma is that you're actually living this other truth. And that's very Gemini moon too, to actually have this like inner Gemini moon with the Scorpio, Mars and Saturn. It's like, yeah, she's actually kind of operating on top of lies or deceit or untruths. And I think that's also part of the confusion that like, even though she, like, why does it seem like such a mess? Because so many things about that statement, you're so right. She's opening the door. She's not closing it. It is a mess. And she's actually operating on top of a lot of darkness and a lot of secrets and a lot of things within the family structure that actually really do hurt her deeply. And she is connected to her family and she loves her family, but I think she's very hurt by the relationship with her sisters and the relationship with the media and her sisters. Now, why do I think she'd be a good talk show host? Because when you have Saturn and Mars in Scorpio in the third house of communications, of understanding, of getting to know people, right? Which is also the Gemini house. I think that she would be really good if she could let her guard down. She could have like, the issue with her talk show, if I remember correctly, is that it really did not, like when I say talk show, I think more of like a Red Table Talk vibe. Like she could act like, at her best, Khloé has the ability to facilitate really intimate conversation. And because she, at her best, would be able to come into the storyline with a lot of, yes, I've struggled with body weight. Yes, I've body weight. Yes, I've struggled with my weight. Yes, I've struggled with body image. Yes, I got a Dewey. Yes, I feel like the weird sister with another father, right? Like, if she actually just was flat about those things and used them as conversation starters, she could get some really juicy dish from all of the celebrities that she's surrounded by, because her like, when you have a Cancer, Venus, Mercury, and Sun in the 10th house with the Gemini moon in the 10th house, she really, like, what you're saying is so right. Like, she can use her sensitivity, she can use her empathy, she can use her, like, insecurities and her humanity to draw people in, and she can be a little bit more manipulative emotionally in a way that isn't so obvious. Like, she could actually just make people, like, at her best, she makes people feel, that's why there is a part of her, and we see it in the comment section, but, like, she wants to be a cheerleader for her family. She when she's stepping in to become part of the comment section, she's not usually, even if she's an idiot and isn't doing it well, she's not actually like, she is a good-hearted person. She is trying to help. Like, she is trying to stand up for what's right. I just think because she has so many secrets of her own, and she has such a, I think she has real intimacy issues because she is on TV, and because so much of her life has been exploited, and it has not been a pretty picture. And I think she's not that comfortable with her own reality and her own darkness and her own truth. And so because she kind of has to kind of, like, operate above all of this way darker stuff, we end up getting this flip-flop and these nonsensical statements that are poorly written, but because there really actually is something way deeper going on that, like, she really is trying to not necessarily avoid because she's bringing it up, but she's not going to unpack it. No.
So how, before I want to ask you how she can sort of right the ship, but before that, I want to ask what part of her chart made her tweet a picture of Chloe Grace Moretz's asshole?
Gemini moons are at, they're kind of assholes. I mean, they're not assholes, but, like, when triggered, because the thing about Gemini, the Gemini energy is always seeking, you know, it's an air sign. It's always seeking balance. So she's always, it's not, and Gemini moons also don't necessarily have a, you know, at their best, they might have a strong moral compass, but it's only because they've like researched in the field. Like, Gemini moons, you know, they want to know from every, they want to hear from everybody. They want to know what's going on with everybody. They want to know what's going on with themselves. They're really interested in kind of, like, the drama and, like, all the different conversations. So I think, like, in Chloe's mind, when she posted an asshole picture of a supposed teenager, she wasn't thinking in terms of, like, is this classy? Is this a good move? Gemini moons, they don't give a fuck. They're just like, okay, you're going to, like, a bad picture here and blah, blah, blah. Well, I counter it with this. Like, she's just going to come in on any argument, no matter what, like, side.
Tony Soprano presented. Mode.
Yeah. She's just going to come in and be the mirror of that conversation.
Right. Okay. So what can she do if she was your client sitting in a reading with you right now? And she was like, how can I get myself to feel better? How can I stop? How can I get out of this torture chamber that I've put myself in with all the body positivity stuff? What would you say?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because I actually think that, and this is, you know, this is a controversial take here. I'm not attached. I think she's pretty happy. I think that even though in this moment she thinks that she's upset about the picture, I don't think that she created this life for, like she created this narrative. I think that, like, you know, if she were my client, what I would really say is, like, I encourage you to go a little deeper. And I would say, maybe don't comment publicly. I would say, get into therapy and talk through some of the things that, because what I think we're really seeing, and I guess what I would say in the chart too, is, like, there is a deep overcompensation going on, and it has everything to do with her, who her father is. It has everything to do with where she fits in this story of her siblings. So I would say that, like, if I was going to work with her, I would just ask her, like, you know, what is it that you ultimately really, really want? If what you really, really want is to just have a happy homebody life and have your husband and kids or whatever, you know, I would really question whether or not continuing to be a reality TV star is actually what you want to do. Now, I do think that she was going to be in the public eye no matter what, but I think that, like, she needs to go through a bit of a, I think she needs to go through a bit of a sort of a reckoning with herself in order to stop this kind of pattern of overcompensation. Because at the end of the day, she's still not really talking about what she's really talking about, which is that, like, she's sad and that, like, she doesn't feel confident. And, you know, I would tell her also to stop with the, like, faux confidence. Like, I would say, like, in your statement, you know, it would be a lot more interesting if her statement was like, look, I am so embarrassed. I hate this picture of me. To be honest, I watched the last 20 seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and I cringe, and I have done a lot to try to make my look better, including surgery, including working out, and I still feel insecure. So I think that, like, really it's like you need to kind of go on a deeper journey and actually find out what it is that, like, really actually matters to you, and then stand by those values. And I don't think it has anything to do with your body.
Wow. I think that sounds spot on.
Yep.
And I think she is, like, on the last few episodes of this new season, it seems like she is basically saying that she doesn't want to be part of it anymore. So I feel like they're just, that's why they're stopping. I feel like, would she be happier if she just stopped posting on Instagram?
No.
Hmm.
I don't think so. I think she gets a lot out of it. But I think, here's the thing, right? When you have your North Node conjunct your Chiron, it's her life purpose is actually to lean into her pain. So I don't think that, I think that if she just got offline, she would feel really, especially because, like, with all that Gemini, North Node, Chiron, Moon, and Midheaven, like, her whole career, like, I think that she needs the public. I think she needs mirrors. I think she needs mirrors that are not her siblings. I think she needs mirrors. I think she does need this kind of, like, push and pull with the world. I mean, it's a stacked 10th house. Like, that is she is here to do public work. Like, she is here to be a public figure. And a lot of how she sees herself is through the lens of other people or through the lens of the internet. I don't think she would be happier if she wasn't posting on social media. I do think that she needs to maybe do, like, a stint at, like, Pritikin or a stint just somewhere. I think she needs to, like, go away and find sort of her own sense of a real sense of self and a real sense of balance. Because, look, also at her best, okay, aside from a talk show host, she'd be a great teacher. Like, she'd be a great public educator. She'd be a great public speaker. Like, I think that she doesn't have, I think the issue is because body is, like, the focus and image and looks is so, it's so, like, the world that she's grown up in, and it's kind of just, like, the context that she lives within. I think she's actually missing a lot of the, like, juice of her chart, which is, like, ultimately she could be, it's almost like even at the beginning in those early Kardashian seasons when she was just, like, the Uggo sister and she was just, like, young and fat and funny, I actually think I'd be curious to know if she was happier then or now. That would be my question, because she might have thought that she was really unhappy then and wanting to get plastic surgery or wanting to be more like her sisters or whatever. I think she'd be a great comedian too, if she actually could write some jokes. Like, I think that she lost herself along the way in this journey to find herself. And I think that what it's actually done is created this avatar that now she feels like she has to maintain and manage and keep up. And I actually don't think that that's even, I think that her, the deeper,
that's not what,
like,
people are coming to her for. She has
no,
such
not
a
what, we're not that
misconception.
Interested in it, actually. Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. She's so confused about what her value is.
Wow, that's like the perfect way to put it. Like, people are never like, oh, I would love this show if Khloé got hot. Like, right. That was never, like, it's like, no,
and
we
fact,
like watching,
like,
this show because of their personalities.
Well, and I also think that, like, in terms of her love life, like, Khloé is gonna be way better off dating people. Like, if she had not done such a drastic transformation of her whole physicality, where now she's attracting these, you know, basketball stars who in both cases are equally as insecure, right? Like, they're cool dudes and they're athletes, but, like, one of them has a raging addiction issue and landed, you know, basically on his deathbed within months of their marriage after they met a month before. And then Tristan, who is like the dog of the dogs. I mean, in Tristan's chart, this man is not, he's not, I actually like Tristan and I like his chart, but I wouldn't have him as dad of the year or I don't think Tristan has a shot at being faithful. I think his chart is like specifically Polly. And so I feel like the issue with Chloe is like now she's embroiled in not only this like whole body conversation and positive gene company and all these like high, you know, these really high profile marriages with these guys who are then fucking like playing her out. I think if she had actually met someone and dated them from the place that she was before, they might've really liked her and they might've really, look, I got a lot of ugly friends who are married and like I'm fatter than ever and I'm still fucking the hottest dudes, right? Like when you really actually have confidence, you know that weight and image is only a part of the, like, yes, it's a lot easier to show up in the world when you feel sexy and confident, but you know what? Like most people don't have that luxury. Most people don't have those resources. And I know a lot of people who are in really happy marriages who I think like the happiest marriages that I know are people who are not like the most physically stunning. Like I think that she kind of did herself a disservice trying to play this sort of perfection, you know, beauty body game when like somebody might have really fucking liked her for exactly who she was with her wider nose and everything.
Yeah, I think it's so true. Like when I worked at a magazine, I saw a lot of hot people come through the doors and I say hot in terms of just having an aura around them that like attracted people to them. And objective bone structure and weight had so little to do with it. You know,
dude, like it's so real. That's so real. I can't believe there are phases that I go through where I'm like really thin and I feel really hot. And like, I actually don't, like the men who I'm most attracted to actually like me when I'm thicker and they don't notice when I gain weight and they don't notice my face. They don't notice my underbite. They don't notice my face. It's actually, they like my, and I have to say one of the things I think I do like about myself, although it's getting worse because now we're on public like video all the time. But like I actually am not that vain. Like I actually don't care about my looks that much and I don't really care about my weight and like I'm
that's awesome,
partially because I'm a comedian and I'm like, well, whatever, like worst comes to worst, I'm fat and I'm funny, you know, it's like who cares. But it's like I do think that's part of why I've had such an it's always blown my mind how easy it is for me to like pull really hot dudes. And it's like because I'm like such a sloppy like little, you know,
but you're not, because you always look like cool as hell. You always look put together and cool and awesome.
But it's only because from a sincere inner place. And I mean, some days better than others. Like I actually am confident. Like I've been doing leadership work since I was a fucking child. Like I have a certain, that's why I can do stand up. It's like, I have a certain confidence that I think is sincere. And I think that's what's attractive to people. I don't think that my looks or my weight or my underbite or whether I'm wearing lipstick or not, or whether my waist is snatched.
You do not have an underbite.
I do. Look, it's getting worse every day.
You're pushing it out.
I'm not.
Well, I never noticed it before.
You see, nobody notices. So that's what I'm saying though. That's like the whole point, that nobody notices. We all have these like insecurities that we look in the mirror and we go, if only I didn't have that. And you know what? Actually, to the point of Chloe, I spent like a good decade with like really severe dental work trying to correct my underbite because I didn't want to get surgery because it was just like kind of a big deal. But I was like, yeah, if they can do it orthodontically, I will. So I spent like 10 years making my smile technically perfect. And when I got my braces off for about a year, my teeth were technically not, I actually had a normal bite. And I got to tell you, I didn't feel as attractive, even though technically
really?
I looked, And I look back at pictures and I look back at my smile and my smile is perfect, but I don't look as good. And I didn't feel more confident. I actually felt kind of weird. And now, so I lost my retainer, whatever, that was many years ago. Now my top jaw is slowly sinking back into my skull. It gets worse every day. Like I literally just, and I feel sexier and I feel more attractive. And it's like, this is what I looked like before. I went through college and high school being like, I'm so insecure, like whatever. And I actually wasn't. Like I was just aware of an imperfection and then thought I had to fix it to feel better. Mm-hmm. And when I fixed it, I didn't feel better. And now my retainer is long gone and my underbite is coming back to its original place. And I actually feel like myself. And that's why I feel bad for Chloe. And that's why I do worry about plastic surgery, because it's, and we're not talking about Botox and fillers and like a little nip and tuck here and there. I'm talking about when you get a full on nose job, or when you get, when you really change your cheekbones or your brow line or your chin, these are, you really can't go back. And it's like, I think Chloe might be happier just being original Chloe.
I thought for the longest time that I had the biggest like hooked nose in the world. I thought that I thought I was like deformed. And I thought the only thing I would look at someone if I was judging whether they were attractive or not was whether they had a button nose. And if they had a button nose, I was like, that person's a perfect 10. They could have been a fucking mess otherwise. But I was
gone
like
through that phase myself. Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, that is the only thing that matters. Beautiful.
Yep.
And
yep,
then
yep.
like finally one day I saw like a picture of myself in side profile and I was like, oh, it's fine. Like, it's not great, but like, it's fine.
It's fine. Well, and actually it's interesting too, because I dated, so like, you know, I have been with the same very hot man for quite some time. And it's been really interesting to hear his reaction to things that I like when I see women with like little tiny button noses or whatever, I'll be like, oh, like you think they're hot? You think they're so pretty? And he's actually been pivotal in my like self-acceptance game, because he's like, no, he's like, noses are hot, like features are hot, like it's way sexier to have like big. And he's like, I don't think you have a big nose anyway. And like, I've always said the same thing where I'm like, oh, I have this big nose, but it's my underbite, it's my facial, I need a facial reconstructionist or whatever. And it's like, he's like, no, like features are sexy. And like when I look at like the porn stars that he likes, or like the people, finding out what he actually thought, like this big, tall, beautiful, big dick biracial athlete comedian, like he is like definition hot. And knowing what he finds attractive has been so illuminating, because all the things like as a, from the feminine perspective, and all the things that we grow up thinking, oh my god, yeah, like if only I had a tiny little button nose, if only my teeth were perfect, if only my, I didn't have acne, if only my body was perfect, whatever, all these things that we think because of like magazine covers and the media and like what we are, our ideals of beauty are actually not what men find. Some men find that attractive, some men don't. Like, it's like, it's really not, there really isn't this like blanket beauty agreement that exists in the actual minds and hearts of the men and women that we are surrounded by every day. It really is the media kind of pushing out this one artistic image that, and I think Kim K really led the pack in changing that story anyway, where she was like, oh, you all think this body type is hot? Well, I'm gonna stand next to my skinny friend Paris, and I'm going to actually show you a whole new body that's hot. And now everyone's getting Brazilian butt lifts. Before, everyone was doing everything they could to shave their asses off. Now we're adding ass. I mean, it's like beauty is such a changeable, it's so like of the times, and it's such an ever-changing conversation that I feel like it's like to be a, like I just wish Chloe didn't do all that work, because she might actually just like herself the way she was.
Well, I was going to ask you about this too. Like, how do you feel about plastic surgery becoming so normalized? Because for me, like, yeah, if I had the money when I was in high school or college, I probably would have gotten a nose job. But, and then like, yes, later on I stopped hating my nose, but I also would have shaved off like 10 years of my life of hating my nose. Like, I would have just been done with it, and I would have been,
but you know what?
Fine with my face.
I don't think you would have been. I don't think you would have been done with it. I think the biggest issue with plastic surgery is, like, for example, my mother had a nose job. So I spent my whole life with her being, I was like the ghost of old nose past, like haunting my mother, you know, like, and, you know, she's a Gemini moon. So like every once in a while, it would be like sometimes I would like walk down the stairs and she'd be like, oh my God, you're so gorgeous, my old face, you know? And then other times I'd be like, I don't, like, actually, when I got my braces off, I did feel pretty for like 5 seconds. I was like, I think I'm too pretty for comedy. She's like, you're not too pretty for comedy. And I was like, okay. You know, so so it's like, I, you know, mixed messages, certainly. But like, I got to tell you, like, my mother is so deeply insecure about her nose job nose. She wishes every day that she had my nose. She wishes every single day of her life that she looked like she used to, because her nose technically is good. It's like she got, you know, it was in the 80s. She had sort of like a ski slope. No, it's a very typical nose job, but like, and she's pretty, she's attractive. Like it matches her face. It's fine. But you know, when I see, like, it doesn't look like her. She doesn't look like her. And I think that the issue with plastic surgery, like, I think that, like, obviously it runs the gamut. And I think that, like, there are people who, like, I did grow up with, like, there are some people that I grew up with that had, like, real deal, like, hook noses or, like, whoa, like, fix this, like, issues. And they did, and they felt better, but they didn't get, like, perfect noses. They just, like, shaved it down a little bit so that it wasn't, like, some grotesque piece of their body that was, like, you know, it was, like, there were some people that were, like, whoa. But
well, here's what I... Like,
I think, in general, people don't actually feel that much better after.
I think I would, because I don't think I'm an unattractive person. I just think with a couple little tweaks, I could really sing. And what I want...
Think you do. To me, you do. Like, I feel like if you got little tweaks, you might just look like some normal-ass blonde. Like, I think your features, I think your jawline, I think your
I would
nose,
keep it, though.
Gorgeous. I think you're gorgeous.
I would keep it prominent. And thank you. But my vision is go back to the old Hollywood studio days and have the guy that knows what sells be like, okay, this, you get that done. I think everyone should get an allowance to have that done if they want. And that would That's level so the playing funny. Field
well,
for the
if
world.
Everybody could. If there was an allowance and that was something that was actually like a normal practice and it was something that was like, okay, everybody gets like their little bank to like do whatever they want to make it a little bit better. I think that might be kind of an interesting thing.
And do you know why? Is because I think that because only celebrities' children have that now, they've taken away one of the best ways of the 20th century for working class women to become rich was if you were beautiful enough to get to Hollywood and then have your little tweaks and become Marilyn Monroe. Now it's Bella Hadid. And it's Gigi. It used to be a working class woman's game that you would get to Hollywood and you would become a world class beauty. And because the studio would pay for it. Now that's it's so girls' parents paying for it. And that's what I think isn't fair. And it's so ruining the economy.
That's a really funny take, Molly, that like actually celebrity children are ruining middle class women's chances of actually becoming super celebrities because now the like ability for them to nip and tuck is not only further away, but studios aren't paying for it and nobody's like investing in people's beauty in that way. And so I don't know though. I guess I just sort of feel like I'm not against plastic surgery. And like, you better believe that like, if I have money in my 60s, I will pull my chin up. I will. Every day my mother looks in the mirror, pulling her neck up going someday, you know, but it's like, I don't know. I think that like, I mean, look, it's also to stay within the story of the Kardashians. It's also how Kanye lost his mother. He was buying her a fucking liposuction and she died on the table. Like, I think there's huge risk involved. There's huge risk involved when we try to permanently change something that could be done naturally. And, you know, and I also just think that like, I don't know. I don't know. I know people that have gotten plastic surgery and even if they think that they're more confident afterwards because they feel prettier in pictures, on a soul level, they don't feel better. And it's just this other, not only does it become an addiction, because then once you start doing it, you go, okay, well, I'm going to do this.
Look at Blake Lively. She had just a great nose job, just a great little
nose job. Great nose
job. And now
yeah.
she's gorgeous. And she just looked like girl in your math class before. Cute, but now she's like fucking gorgeous. That's what I'm talking about. The little tweak that just takes you from like a 7 to a 10.
Yeah, but like also Blake, like, I don't know. First of all, I think her pre-nose job pictures are also attractive. Like, I think she's an attractive girl. Like, I don't.
Exactly. That's because she's starting at a baseline of attractiveness. Right.
I think a nip and tuck when someone is starting off with a baseline of attractiveness and just going, you know what, just this tiny little, shave my little bump on my nose and I'm good. I think that's very different than, I mean, Khloe Kardashian looks so different. I mean, she doesn't even look like, she looks like a plastic surgery shell. She looks like a, you know, like a, she looks like she's in drag. I mean, she actually looks like a drag queen.
Yeah. So let's just to wrap, I just have one last little question astrology wise, and then I'm going to get this edited and put it up because I think it's really good. I want to get it out tonight,
juicy.
But it's going to be 2 hours long. So just in a nutshell, why did you say that Tristan's chart shows him to be Polly? Cause I know everyone's going to want to know that.
So I have Tristan's chart up. Now we don't have a birth time for him, so I don't know what his rising is, but Tristan's sun is in Pisces. his moon is in Aquarius and his Venus is in Aries. So to me, these three components and his Mars is in Gemini. So, okay, first of all, Pisces sun, I love Pisces suns, but Pisces are not totally in physical reality. Pisces are deeply ungrounded. They can float in and out of whatever truth they need to tell in order to feel that, like, on an emotional level, they're satisfied with the answer, right? So, like, Pisces, like, there's a, I dated a guy who was a Pisces sun with a lot of Aquarius in his chart and Gemini moon. And it wasn't that he was, like, a cheater or a liar as much as, like, he could very conveniently not say certain things, very conveniently. He could justify any bad behavior. He would block me for 2 days. And I would be like, well, obviously you were, like, hooking up with someone. And he would do everything he could not to tell me the truth, but to kind of, like, sway the conversation in a different direction, because that's not really what matters, right? So it's, yeah, like, or he would try to say, like, I was like, trying to, like, get in on his business, right? And it was like, well, I don't know, we're sleeping together without a condom. Like, I feel like I kind of deserve to know, like, who else you're fucking, you know? Like, I don't know, I think it sort of is my business once you fucking put your fucking junk in me, but okay. Then we have his moon in Aquarius. Aquarians are notoriously not into one person. Aquarius is probably the most poly energy. Aquarius is, like, everyone. Aquarius is the people. It's really about Aquarian moons need a lot of stimulation mentally. They need a lot of storylines going on there. And they're also not that, you know, even though Pisces gets the rap of being an emotional sign, it's not an emotional sign the same way that, like, Cancer is, which is very, like, grounded in, like, what's right and wrong. And, like, what was promised to you and what home means. Like, Pisces is kind of like, it's sensitive because it's like the dew, it's the fog, it's this nebulous energetic, like, I'm sensitive, right? But it's not, like, necessarily, like, sensitive, like, I give a shit and I'm gonna fight for what's right, right? Then plus that Aquarius moon, so he's like, he's a sensitive Pisces, so he's probably a good lover. When he's with her, she thinks he cares. He's a really attentive lover. But then that moon in Aquarius, no Aquarius moons are happy if they don't have at least a couple of people to be sexting or texting, or just have, they need to be able to check in and out of a lot of conversations. And they also feel very righteous about this sort of flippant emotional nature. They're a very detached sign. And they actually think, like I would guess from looking at his chart that he's actually, like, it's almost like, the thought of being, like, quote unquote faithful, or the thought of being, like, committed in any way is, like, it's almost, like, ridiculous. It's like that's, like, imprisoning to him. Like, he's like, no, like, yeah, I'm a basketball player. I got all these girls that I have the potential to fuck. I want to live my life fully and experience all of this. And I don't know why you're taking it so personally. Aquarian moons are like, whoa, your feelings are hurt. Aquarian moons can just, like, never get back to you. And then you can be like, hey, you never got back to me. And they'll be like, yeah, I did. Like, I thought it. And you'll be like, okay, but, like, you didn't, like, actually say, like, you didn't actually say it. So, like, there's a lot of times, even though Aquarian moons happen to be very, when they're in the zone, they're very articulate. They're very good communicators. They're also, they miss a lot of emotional detail, and they are not emotionally sensitive really at all. And then you have his Mercury and his Venus in Aries. So this tells me that he has real impulse control problems. When you have a Mercury in Aries, it's hard for you to, like, stop yourself from just, like, doing the thing. Like, if you have an opportunity to fuck someone hot, you do it. And then with that Venus in Aries too, on the one hand, sure, he could find some passionate romance, but at the same time, with his Mercury and his Venus in Aries, it's more likely that he's actually extremely self-absorbed. He is in love with himself. He's in love with the chase. He's in love with he loves the passionate pursuit. And then after that pursuit is finished, he doesn't, it's like, okay, cool. I, like, intellectually know that I could fuck that chick. I had that experience. I'll put it in my little mind palace and have it forevermore. And now moving on. Like, it's a very much, this, his whole chart is very much this sort of like zoomed out, not that plugged in, kind of fast moving, like, just, like, having experiences and moving along, not really caring who it hurts. And that really is kind of how we know him.
Yeah. Sounds totally accurate. So Pisces, Aquarius, and Aries are a bad combination for cheating. So where can people find you if they want readings and stuff?
So you can go to my Instagram, Sarah Armour, or you can go to the Moonual Instagram, follow them both. If you go to saraharmour.com, there's just like a booking site. So you can sign up for a reading. And if everybody really wants to like do what's good for them, they will join us on Sunday and otherwise every other week at the Moonual, where we do sort of healing comedy moon rituals. And Molly, if you're available Sunday, we would love an Aries presentation from you, because you're the best like feature act we could possibly ask for. Molly does these fucking shit, like really educational PowerPoints on every sign that actually have made the Moonual so much better, because now as we move forward, like to do the astro reading, everyone actually has context for what we're talking about. And I think before you came, no one knew what we were talking about. So I really thank you. And I really hope that you're there forevermore, because we actually need you. You're filling in a huge gap of education that I could not do without you.
This one's going to be triggering too, because I have a lot of, beef with Aries. So.
Oh, hell yeah, dude, bring it up. We'll fucking talk it out. And yeah, but yeah, trash them, you know, go for it. I love
yes,
that.
I will.
Some people think divas
is a diva to you. Would you say, are you one?
I never said that.
Diva behavior.
Hey, great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Of course, I don't trust you.
Diva Behavior, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.